Warren Zane's story is one of many that speaks to the chaos and the unpredictability of the music industry. Warren Zanes formed the Boston-based band The Del Fuegos in 1980 with his brother Dan Zanes. Warren Zanes eventually quit the group. He got a Ph.D. He became a vice president of education at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and an author. Most recently, though, he was consulting producer on the 2013 documentary 20 Feet from Stardom. The film is now nominated for an Oscar. The film centers on the background singers we hear in some of rock and roll's greatest hits, the women behind the Rolling Stones' Gimme Shelter, Lynyrd Skynyrd's Sweet Home Alabama, and David Bowie's Young Americans. Janice Pendarvis has been a background singer for Sting. She described the importance of these backup vocals.
You know, when you think about the history of pop music and all the memorable hooks that people sing along with, they're singing with us most of the time because that's what we do on records. We come in and sing the hooks.
Warren Zanes joins us now to talk about the film. It is kicking off the 2014 documentary film series tonight at the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art in North Adams.
One beautiful thing about the movie to me is you have these relatively unknown characters. And my God, everybody in the audience can identify with being anonymous because we all feel that. But the soundtrack to their story is the greatest hits of all time. So you had a movie that the music, we've already fallen in love with it.
Warren, take us through some of the central figures in this, and maybe you can help track the trajectory of their careers, starting with where they were when they achieved the fame, as much fame as a backup singer can achieve, where they were in the film, because we see what's happened to them years, sometimes decades later, and where they are now. Why don't you start with Darlene Love? Here she is on He's a Rebel.
He's a rebel and he'll never, ever be any good.
Trace Darlene Love's path in the film.
You've just played that song. She goes from being one of the backup singers, and then in Phil Spector's hands, she gets pushed to the front as a lead singer, but isn't credited. The emotional centerpiece of the movie, to me, is when you see Darlene Love going back to cleaning houses.
She says she's quoted, I mean, she's so ebullient and she has this fantastic smile and so much energy. She is quoted as saying that she wanted 20 Feet from Stardom, your film, to put her over the top once and for all. She said, the ducks are all lined up. This is the first time in years that I really think this is going to be it. What has it done for her?
Darlene's playing more than she ever has. She's always done, for instance, her Letterman appearances at Christmas, singing her, you know, emphasis track from the Phil Spector Christmas album. And this year, for the first time, she sat down on the couch with Letterman.
Yeah, it's been, I started out as a background singer.
How old were you?
So 16.
16? How did that happen? Where'd you get the gig?
Actually, I joined the group, the Blossoms, and they wanted me to sing with them because they needed a girl. I replaced one of the girls in the group, and I started singing background. And our first recording session was with James Darren. For Capitol Records.
The song and, was?
I don't know. I don't remember. That's 50 years ago.
Hey, she was in the room for over 25 years, but this was the year she was asked to sit down on the couch. She's got a review that's going to be in Vegas coming up. Very quickly, they re-released her book. Mary Clayton's music got re-released. Judith Hill just signed a deal with Sony. Tata Vega's with Elton John. Everybody got a boost. And I think part of it is when you see this film, it is very hard not to back these women.
When the night is cloudy, there's still a light that shines on me. Shine on till tomorrow, let it be.
Claudia Lanier is one of the singers that you feature, and she was dancing and singing with Ike and Tina Turner, and then she was with the Rolling Stones, and let's just say Mick Jagger thought she was hot.
And Claudia Lanier, she was like the really hot one of the Ikeettes. Yeah, she was really great dancer, very hot, beautiful girl.
there were a few young ladies in the background world who were trying to get to the leading man as quickly as possible.
You know, Mick and I had a very special relationship, and we used to have so much fun.
She was in there with the Stones and Bowie and Beatles. She was one of the singers at George Harrison's Bangladesh. She was just in the heart of it. Gets a major deal with Warner Brothers Records. The music industry, the fuel that drives it are young people's dreams. That's like, you take that out and there's no music industry. And so you see these young African-American women like bringing their dreams to the table. And when it doesn't pan out, that is hard to come back from. And sometimes it's easier just to step out of it. She is a Spanish teacher, anonymous. But her Warner Brothers recordings just got re-released. She started singing again. Lisa Fisher was already out with the Stones. She then went out with, you know, Nine Inch Nails. She's still with the Stones.
Lisa Fisher might be the exception in this. She has one of the most breathtaking voices in the entire film. She is a character who really embraces the background singing, but she seems, unlike the others, okay with not having a solo career. Let's hear from her, Lisa Fisher.
Some people will do anything to be famous. And then there are other people who just will sing. It's not about anything except being in this special space with people. And that is really the higher calling to me.
Lisa's been on the road with the Stones for, she'll be coming up on 30 years.
Unbelievable.
She's always working. At the beginning of the movie, that description fit, though. She was, work-wise, it was a best-case scenario. She's unbelievably talented, and also she can work in a range of musical styles. So she's, you know, one of those first-call backup singers.
You knew Mary Clayton before you knew her from the film. I mean, you had worked with her, correct?
Yes. I mean, I should first say, we all know Mary Clayton if we know Gimme Shelter, if we know Sweet Home Alabama, if we know Joe Cocker's classic recordings. So I knew her as a voice, but I didn't have a name attached to it. And I played in a Boston band called the Del Fuegos. And when we were making our third record, the producer said, let's try bringing in some backup singers. And he brought in one of the Waters sisters, but he also brought in Mary Clayton. Now, we were young guys from Boston, and we hadn't read the Book of Etiquette. And the producer felt the need to say, gentlemen, please be gentlemen when she comes in. And when you address Mary, you either call her diva, diva number one, or just number one. And we looked at him like he was out of his mind. So she came into the studio, and we all wore suits. We brought her flowers. She wanted the respect that she had, you know, rightfully earned. We showed it, and, you know, the hair on the back of our neck stood up when she let loose on one of our songs, and it was magical.
That's a long slide. Whoa, that's a long slide.
So that was the Del Fuegos in the 1980s, and then back in the 60s it was that Mary Clayton sang with the Stones, Gimme Shelter. She tells this incredible story about how she ended up singing with Mick Jagger when she got a call late at night, came into the studio wearing silk pajamas, not really knowing who the Stones were. Let's hear from her.
So I said to myself, I'm going to do another one. I'm going to blow them out of this room. I went in again, and I did that pass on the part that says, Ray Murdoch, just a shot away. So I had to go up another octave.
Yeah. Ray Murdoch, it's just a shot away. It's just a shot away. Ray Murdoch, yeah. It's just a shot away. It's just a shot away. Ray Murdoch, it's just a shot.
I just don't think there's anything more powerful in popular music than that vocal part that Mary Clayton does in Gimme Shelter. If if that's not working on you, it's something you should take to your doctor, I think. And they let that voice come forward. And I've heard about the Stones in the studio. Like, you think they're about ego, and the truth is they're about, let's make the best record we can. And in that moment, there's this vocal performance like nobody could top that. So just get out of its way.
You're a consulting producer on the film. Do you feel like you and the others are now, in a way, unwitting and maybe happy curators of these women's careers now?
The film might have, you know, opened some people's eyes to who these singers are. But once they're the singers in front of them, they don't need a movie. They've got those voices.
Warren Zanes, congratulations, and thank you for giving us the sequel to the story.
Thank you.
Warren Zanes is consulting producer of the Oscar-nominated documentary 20 Feet from Stardom. He'll be at a screening of the film at the Massachusetts Museum of Contemporary Art in North Adams tonight.
And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Lisa Mullins. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.